today on Living on Every Word.
Now, if we confess our sins, God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and then to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. When I confess sin, the scripture says that I am forgiven. But I really like the next part. When I confess sin, I'm forgiven. He also comes to cleanse me from that sin.
Confession is powerful. It's the starting point for setting things straight, for getting a fresh start. In today's message, Pastor Mike Fritcher continues to talk about the sins of David and how he made things right in part two of Portraits of Forgiveness. Living on Every
Word. If you have your Bibles, turn to 2 Samuel chapter 12. I want to continue our message from last week on David finding forgiveness. And we saw last week in 2 Samuel chapter 11, David's fall. David's fall from God. David's fall as he sinned with Bathsheba, as he was part of the murder of Uriah. And yet he committed this sin and for about 9 months felt like it was hidden. And so we look at this passage of Scripture in chapter 12, and we're going to look just at it just for a moment, and then we're going to go to Psalm 51 and look at the cleansing process that David went through. Chapter 12, verse 1, then the Lord sent Nathan to David, and he came to him and said, there were two men in one city, the one rich, the other poor. The rich man had a great many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb, which he bought and nourished. And it grew up together with him and his children. And it would eat of his bread and drink of his cup and lie in his bosom. It was like a daughter to him. And a traveler came to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take from his own flock or his own herd to prepare for the wayfarer who had come to him. Rather, he took the poor man's ewe lamb and prepared it for the man who had come to him. Verse 5. And then David's anger burned greatly against the man, and he said to Nathan, as the Lord lives, surely the man who has done this, he deserves to die. He must make restitution for the lamb fourfold because he did this thing, and he had no compassion. And Nathan then said to David, you are the man. You are this man. You are the one in need. You are the one in sin. You are the one that is wrong here. Nathan said to David, you are the man, thus says the Lord God of Israel, it is I who anointed you king over Israel, I who delivered you from the hand of Saul. I gave you your master's house, your master's wives into your care. I gave you the house of Israel and Judah. I gave you all these things. And if that had been too little, I would have added to you many more things like these. Why then have you despised the word of the Lord by doing evil in his sight? You've struck down Uriah the Hittite with the sword, have taken his wife to be your wife, and have killed him with the sword and the sons of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from your house, because you've despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be your wife. Thus says the Lord, behold, I'll raise up evil against you from your own household, and I will even take your wives before your eyes and give them to your companion, and he will lie with your wives in broad daylight. Indeed, you did it secretly, but I'll do this thing before all Israel under the sun. And David said to Nathan, I've sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has taken away your sin. The Lord has forgiven you of your sin. You shall not die. However, because by this deed you have given occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born to you shall surely die. So Nathan went to his house. Very hard passage of Scripture. And I just want to say this, sin is sin. Rebellion is rebellion. Here you have a man that has committed adultery and murder, has tried to hide it. He's God's anointed. God has given him all these things that Nathan just spoke of. He's a man after God's own heart, even. And as we talked about last week, yeah, godly people make mistakes, right? They do. And I want to say this because I believe this with all my heart. David is still a man after God's own heart. This doesn't change that. He is forgiven, and yet there are consequences to sin. And every one of us in this place who have walked in sin and walked in rebellion know the power of forgiveness in our lives, but we also know the consequences of those sins, don't we? They do reach. And yet we find in David's life this whole thought of, in this moment, this forgiveness that he finds. And I find that really interesting because Nathan is speaking in chapters 12 through 15, and David just says one thing, I have sinned against the Lord. I have sinned against the Lord. Now, what does that mean? What does that mean for David? What does that mean for you and for me? Well, number one, when confronted with your sin, confess it. Come clean. Spoke a little bit of that last week. How he covered his sin in the early parts of this sin. How he covered it up and tried to make sure that nobody knew about it. But God knew. No, when confronted with your sin, confess it. And that's what he does. He confesses it. He confesses his sin before this prophet and before God. Now, the word confession, it means to say it together. It means to agree with someone. And in this case, what I want to suggest to you is that he is saying this together with God. He is confessing, yes, God, I am a sinner. I have sinned. I have blown it. Period. Confession's a very powerful thing. I mean, you see this in this instant, this one instant, after the confession, that God would proclaim the forgiveness and to say, well, I'm going to tell you what I'm doing right now. I'm taking away your sin. Amen? It's taken away. That's a great promise. It's a great gift. It's what God promises to you and to me when we come to faith and we're justified by Him. And He justifies us and He takes away the sins, as we saw last week, and what forgiveness really is. It's the taking away of it. I'm taking away this sin from you. I'm taking it away. And I find it really interesting that it's that moment of confession, that it comes from out of the heart, out of the mouth, that says, I have sinned. When confronted with your sin, confess it. What do I mean by confront it? Well, there's a number of ways you're confronted by sin. Number one, your conscience is a confrontation of your sin. How many times have you wake up in a place that you know that you shouldn't have been, and you knew the very first time that you started walking in the sin, started walking in the rebellion, or the first time you sinned, there was this guilt that came over you. That was the confrontation of God, which is a good thing. It was God saying, this is wrong. This, you don't walk this way. You don't live this way. You don't act that way. Matter of fact, it began, if you're a believer in Christ, it began when you were being tempted to sin. And we're confronted with this by our own conscience, by guilt. And there is good guilt and there is bad guilt. And we might talk a little bit about that. Conviction. Some of us are confronted by the Word of God. The Word of God that we might be reading that very day, or the Word of God that God had given us in a time past. It might be the Word of another. Somebody else might come along and say, look, I see this in your life. And it grieves me that this is in your life. It grieves me that you had this attitude. It grieves me that you continue to speak evil or speak or gossip or do these things. It grieves me that you do these things. It grieves me that you participate in things that you should not be participating in. And it's the confrontation. And it may not be lust and it may not be anger, but it may be grumbling and complaining. It may be some of those kinds of things that somebody might come along, like your spouse, say, look, why are you living this way? Why are you responding this way? Why are you acting this way? It's the confrontation of the Word. And that may be a strong word there, but I want to tell you, David is confronted by this prophet. You know, it might even be you're confronted by the actual act of being caught. And you know, I know that people who get caught in sin usually get a bad rap, right? Now, they just got caught. David got caught, right? Matter of fact, everyone and one of us who have sinned and come to any word of confrontation that comes to our lives, we're caught, every one of us. And being caught is a good thing in God's economy. In 1 John chapter 1, there's a powerful passage of Scripture on confession. I'd like for you to turn there. 1 John chapter 1, verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with Him, with God, and yet walk in darkness, we lie and we do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Now, if we say we have no sin, we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, if we confess our sins, if we say it together with God, if we agree with God on our sinful nature and the sins that we commit, God is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins, and that word is to take it away, to remit our sins, and then to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And if we say we've not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us. Confession is powerful. And there are great benefits to confession. Right here in this passage of Scripture, when I confess sin, the Scripture says that I am forgiven, that my sin's taken away. But I really like the next part. When I confess sin, I'm forgiven. He also comes to cleanse me from that sin. You know, there are some of us that we know that we are forgiven. But there's a lot of us that just still feel dirty and unclean. And the enemy will come with accusation to that. You know, it's interesting about the enemy because the enemy is known as the tempter, right? And the tempter will come along and he'll tempt you to do something. And he will pull it all the stops out to see that you sin, to see that you speak what you shouldn't be speaking, and do all those things. And I mean, tempt, 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 tempt. And then you fall and all of a sudden, he's accusing you. Comes back with the accusation. You know, something really interesting about David here is that David gives one line, I've sinned against the Lord. I mean, if you go back and look at chapter 12 and you look at all the things that God says here, here are the consequences of this sin in your life. Do you know what he does? He accepts it. And you know, a lot of us, we like to say, I'm forgiven, so listen, I don't want to have to deal with this anymore. Well, I'm sorry, there are certain things that we walk in that we've got to continue to deal with. He doesn't complain about it. You never see that again. You don't ever see him complaining about all these things that are happening in his life. And you know what I think also is that he's such a man after God's own heart that all those other things are secondary. And the very first thing that he's so concerned about is his relationship with his God. And I don't know about you, but I want to be in that place. I think sometimes I'm more concerned about the consequences than I am about the consequences of not having the right relationship with God. And I ask sometimes, is my relationship that shallow with God? Or is it becoming deeper and deeper with God so that I don't want to offend Him and I don't want to walk in such a way that causes people to stumble? I want to live this life after God's own heart. And you know, I think those two things, he's confronted with his sins, he confesses it, and then the second thing, he accepts the discipline of the Lord without complaint. Now, I want you to go to Psalm chapter 51 because there's a couple of principles about this. Now, this psalm is the word that once Nathan left, this is the psalm that David wrote. And when I look at this passage of Scripture, I think that there's a real principle here. And the principle is yeah, believe when you're forgiven that you're also cleansed. Believe that when you confess your sin, you're forgiven, but God is also cleansing you from unrighteousness. Now, God has said you're forgiven. And like I said a little bit ago, sometimes we are forgiven and we know that and we believe that, but we just don't feel it. And I'm not saying that feelings that we bank, that's not our final source of authority, but I'm going to tell you, it can affect our lives, those feelings. I don't think he feels clean right now. Look at a couple of things with me. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness, according to the greatness of your compassion. Blot out my transgressions. Blot them out, Lord. Wipe them away. Erase them like a stain stick. Some of you ladies have a stain stick now in your purse so that if your husband spills something at a restaurant, you can just take it and it just wipes the stain away. Just wipes it. And that's the thought here. It's take the stain out, Lord. Blot the sin out of my life. He says, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from sin. For I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me. And against you and only I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you're justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Verse 5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity and in my sin, my mother conceived me. You desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I'll be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. And make me to hear the joy and gladness. Let the bones which you've broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will be converted unto you. You know, there's seven times that David uses the word cleanse or blot out. Cleanse me, wash me, blot it out, create in me a clean heart, O God. I think of this passage of Scripture and I'm glad it's given to us. Because we do sin, and we do blow it, and we do mess up, and we are forgiven. And I look at this passage of Scripture, and I see a man, yeah, knows he's forgiven, but he's recovering. And maybe that's where you are today. You know you're forgiven, but you've got some things to work through. And you know what? It's okay. It's okay to work through them. I find it so disheartening sometimes that some people who have sinned just don't ever get over it. And it's like they did it yesterday. And they knew God forgave them. And yet, a year goes, and 2 years goes, and 5 years go, and 15 years go, and they're just continue to be reminded of it. Continue to wonder if I'm worthy of God. Am I worthy of this? And I'm sure these are some of the thoughts that David's feeling here. And so what he does is he appeals to God. He appeals. And what I like about this first section is that, listen, when you've sinned and you know you're forgiven, listen, you still belong to God. You hear me? You still belong to Him. Amen. Yeah, you still belong to God. And what I like about that thought and what I get from that thought are some of the words that he uses. Look back at verse 1. Be gracious to me, O God. According to your loving kindness. Loving kindness is a covenant word. And when God makes covenant with man, when He makes covenant with us, when He decides that He's going to save us and deliver us, He means it. So that if you're a believer in Christ and you blow it and you have a season of blowing it, guess what? You still belong to God. There are a lot of us don't feel that we belong to God. David knows who he's praying to. He knows who, just like the prodigal son, who he's going home to, his father. And so he uses these covenant words. He uses these words like graciousness and loving kindness and compassion and forgiving and transgression and forgiving sin. These are all words used to describe the glory of God in Exodus when Moses asked God to show him his glory. Look at Exodus 34:6, when God passed by in front of Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, here it is, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness and truth, who keeps loving kindness for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. David's a good student of his Bible. He's a good student of God. He knows what the glory of God is. He knows what the character of God is. And in that moment, because he knows he still belongs to God, what does he do? He appeals to his Father's nature. Be compassionate. Be merciful. I need your mercy today. According to your loving kindness, that which spurs you on to forgive and to do the things that you do for me, that you do for us. Oh, here's my iniquity. Here's my transgression. Here's my sin. Blot it out. Cleanse me according to your great nature, O my God. This is the good news of the gospel. That these are the things that God has done for us. And even though we've sinned, and even though we've blown it, and even though we're reminded of it, we are forgiven and we are also cleansed, because that's what the blood of Jesus does. You cleanse today. You still belong to God. Well, there's another thought here. You still belong to God, but you still have propensities to sin. It's a part of our old nature. You and I still have propensities to blow it. Notice verse 3. I know my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against you, you only, I've sinned and done what is evil in your sight. My sin is before me. It's like my sin accuses me. It's like I look in the mirror and I don't see David, I see sin. It's ever before me, God. And I really need to deal with this. I really need to get this out of my life. I really need to move forward in these things. You felt that way lately? Have you felt that way? That I look in the mirror and I just see, I don't see God in my life. I see sin. I see the sin accusing me. I see the failure. David's saying, that's what's happening with me. Notice what else. Verse 5, behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. I still have this propensity, and I've always had this propensity. And what I want to say to you today is that this sin is not some freak accident in David's life. It's not a freak accident. He thought it. He thought of it. It's who he was in his heart. And it's who we all are without Christ. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We've all fallen. We've all sinned. There's none righteous, no, not one. And our righteousness are as filthy rags compared to his righteousness. No, this is not some freak accident. It is a part of his life that's a failure that he doesn't repeat, and we praise God for that. We got to understand we have propensities. And we need to confess that. And that's what he's doing here. Listen, from my mother's womb, I've had the tendency. I've had the tendency to do these things. I've thought these things. I've thought them out. And I have this tendency, and I want to be careful of that. Because you will be tempted again. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12. Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed that he does not fall. No temptation has overtaken you, but such as is common to man. God is faithful, will not allow to be tempted beyond what you're able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape so that you may be able to endure it. What is he saying? Listen, you're going to be tempted. Enemy's going to come, appeal to your flesh. And if you think that you're standing, take heed lest you fall. So, no temptation has overtaken you, but it's common to man. It's common to everyone. And God in his faithfulness will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. Isn't that a great word? You know, in the heat of temptation, that God's not going to throw on something that you can't handle? But then guess what else he gives you? He gives you a way of escape so that you can endure the temptation. But I've got to always be in a position that, listen, I can't just think I'm never going to fall again. I'm never going to do that again. You heard that before? No, I need to take heed lest I fall. Yes, you still belong to God. You still have propensities for sin. And here's the thought for all of this message this morning, is that I need to confess and pray God's vision for restoration. This is a psalm from beginning to end of confession. I agree with God that I'm a sinner, but I also agree with God of what he has for me. There's a couple of things about this passage. Look at verse 7. My Bible says, purify me with hyssop and I'll be clean. Wash me and I'll be white in the snow. In the original language, this is how it reads. You will purify me with hyssop and I will be clean. You will wash me and I will be whiter than snow. You will make me to hear joy and gladness, and that the bones which you have broken will rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Here's the confession. I believe with all my heart that when I confess my sin, he's faithful and just to forgive me, to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. And he will, he says, I will. You will, God, purify me with hyssop. You will cleanse me. You will purge me of this stuff. You will purge me of this darkness. You will purge me of these things. You will wash me thoroughly, and I'm going to be clean. I'm going to be whiter than snow. You're going to do these things for me. This is God's vision for my life. This is God's vision for your life. Make me to hear joy and gladness. When I was reading this week, I thought of the prodigal. Returns, and there's a party given in his return. And what is going on? There's joy, and there's rejoicing, and there's gladness. And that which was broken is now healed. There's a couple of other things in this passage of Scripture. that he is praying for, that he's agreeing with, a clean heart, a right spirit, the presence of God always being available, verse 11. Never having the fear that the Holy Spirit's going to be taken away from you like it was taken away from Saul. A restoration of joy, my salvation. David is forgiven. David walks through the processes of being cleansed. But Jesus hasn't died yet. Jesus has died. The transaction made for you and me to be right with him. Portrait of forgiveness comes from David to now, 3,000 years later, right here. The portrait of forgiveness is you. You are the portrait that God has forgiven and God has cleansed you. Bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? Maybe you're here today and you don't feel like you're forgiven. And so you need to just pray where you are to say, gosh, you know, I haven't experienced this forgiveness of God, and I just need to confess this sin. Maybe you're holding on to secret sin today. Maybe you're doing some things you know you're not supposed to be doing. And so you come, you make that right. Thank you, Father, for your goodness and mercy, your grace, your loving kindness, the covenant power of God in our lives today. To know that no matter where we've been, we still belong to our great God. And we acknowledge, Lord, that we still have propensities. We are flesh and of the flesh. But Lord, there is a great future for us today. It's a future that brings us out of the pit onto the rock that many get to see and many get to hear. It's a future of truly being washed, truly being cleansed, truly being forgiven, having a new heart, a right spirit. Having the very nature of Jesus Christ. And I thank you. And God, I just ask, Lord, that as we contemplate this day, as we think about your death and what it truly means for us, as forgiveness is concerned and the new nature is concerned, I pray, God, you'd flood us with confidence today, and you'd flood us with hope, and you'd flood us with life today. There's some of us in this place that need this today. Most of us need this today. God, we come from weeks where we've grumbled and complained about our circumstances, where we've lusted, where we've walked in anger, where we've walked under unforgiveness. We've complained about our kids, we've complained about our parents, complained about our church, complained about our finances, spouses. We've complained. Lord, we need restored spirits today. Restored hearts, clean hearts, right spirits. So that we might move into this next week, instead of grumbling and complaining, thanking you and blessing you and praising you. Knowing that, Lord, that when we go into the battle, we go into the world, that we will be tempted, but Lord, that we have strength today. We have life today. We have opportunity today to be victorious. Lord, some of us have come from this week where we said some things that we shouldn't have said, and we've said them in ways we shouldn't have said them. God, I just ask, Lord, that whatever those things are, whatever those sins that we need to deal with, that we would do that. And God, I just want to thank you that we can deal with it right now. As we're reminded of all the things that Nathan said to David, David said one thing: I've sinned against God. I have sinned. And in that next moment, God has also taken away your sin. You will not die. Oh God, will you speak that to us today? Whatever we bring today, that we leave it here and we go to live washed and cleansed and purified. And I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Cottonwood is located 3 miles east of Dublin on Highway 6. For more information on the ministries of Cottonwood, please call us at 254-445-2929, or you can visit us on the web at www.cottonwoodtx.com.